Ooh, let me read you one. Go to Hebrews 8 and I'll read you one more thing. I don't want to leave this out. So all those promises, and then in verse 15 of Deuteronomy, you're turning to Hebrews 8. I'm reading Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. But it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed you will be in the city. Cursed you will be in the country. Cursed you'll be in your basket and eating bowl. Everything that was good is going to be bad if you don't follow the Lord. Now let's look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 8. Now this is the main point of the things which we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not for man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore it is necessary that this one, who is Jesus, also have something to offer. In the Old Testament, all they had was the promises of God and their own behavior to live up to the standard. That's all they had. In the New Testament, the new covenant which you are under. Under this covenant, we have Jesus, this majesty on high, this high priest. And the word says that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our infirmities. We don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with the fact that even though I love God, I might still like to drink. Even though I love God, I might still have a problem over here. We don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with those things, but who was tempted in all things and yet remained without sin. Because it is him who then stands before God and says, if you will confess your sins, not to people. If you confess your sins to me, I will cleanse you of all unrighteousness and forgive it. So that my flaws and my errors no longer are things that can hinder me unless I allow them. Why? Because God's grace and his favor has been granted to me. Now, Paul said like this. He said, well, if that's the case, shall we remain in sin so that grace can abound? He said, God forbid, don't stay that way. Well, if God's a forgiving God, how come I can't just do what I want to do? Because you don't understand. Yes, he's given grace. He's given grace to get you to a new level. He didn't give you grace to stay at the old level. So the things that were flaws to me or errors to me or things that could hold me down, they don't have the authority to hold me anymore. Now Satan has authority over the world, and if I continue to live in his kingdom, he will have authority over me. But I have a high priest right here who has given something greater. Now let's go, you're in Hebrews 8, right? Go down to verse 6. Are you with me? Hebrews 8 and 6. Talking about Jesus. But now he, Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry, as much as he also is a mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises. See, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, those were some great promises. You're going to be blessed going in. You're going to be blessed coming out. He's going to bless you this way, bless you that way. He's going to bless your bowl and bless this and blessing all these things about you. He's going to make you the head and not the tail. All those things are promises that were made if they could live up to the standard. But Jesus comes and now is the author of a new covenant, and the new covenant is based on something better than that. Well, what could be better than being blessed going in and blessed coming out? Look at let's read through. Let's go verse 7 through 13, Tony. 7 through 13. For if that the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them out of the land of Egypt. Because they did not continue in my covenant, I had to disregard them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor and his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. In that he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. We have people trying to be religious and live up to these 10 commandments, and you can't do that because that's obsolete. It's this new life in Christ that he says is a new covenant, a new agreement that he's given to us. This new covenant is no longer filled with, can you live up to a standard? Why is that important? It's important when you because you need to know that when you call on the name of the Lord, that there is no weapon that can stop you. The weapon of your mistakes can't stop you. The weapon of your flaws can't stop you. The weapon of people's voices from the outside of you can't stop you. The weapons of your fear cannot stop you. You need to be confident and know that you are not able to be stopped because there's no thing standing between you and God. That the blood of Jesus has been poured out for you. So if you are called on to pray for the sick, that you can say, you know what? Oh, Lord, I did something wrong yesterday. No. I'm in right standing with God. I'm standing right with God. If I have to pray for the sick, I can pray for the sick. But what about this? Doesn't make a difference what it is. But I've stumbled over this. Doesn't make a difference. Confess it. Get it out of the way. You walk with God. Get up and walk what God has for you. Real quick, let's do this. Okay, new covenant promises. I'm going to close with these two things real quick. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I had a family that I was teaching a class. And we were having this conversation about tithing. And the lady said to me, she said, well, we're tithing to get out from the curse. I said, you're not under the curse? I said, no. We're cursed with a curse. We rob God, and so we're cursed with a curse. I said, you're not under a curse. But we read it. We read it in Malachi. We're cursed with a curse because we rob God. You are not under a curse. But we read it. You're reading the Old Testament. We have a new covenant based on new promises, and you are not cursed with a curse. You need to understand when you read your Bible what you're reading. Man, but I just got bad luck. I ain't got no luck. I either got blessing or I got a blessing coming. That's all I got. Luck is not the issue here. There's a divine order to my life, and I'm walking either in truth or a lesson to get to truth. One of the two. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become the curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every man who hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What does that mean? It means that if you're in Christ, you're not cursed. You might be going through the valley. You might have shadows all around. You might have things coming against you. You might have things squeezing you. You might have everything coming against you, but you are not under a curse. And because you're not under a curse, if you hang on, you're coming out. See, a curse is no getting out of the curse. I'm cursed, that's all it is. No, I'm not under a curse. I'm under this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I will walk out of whatever it is. If you're broke, you can walk out of it. If you're sick, you can walk out of it. If you are struggling, you can walk out of it. If you got history behind you of abuse or whatever else, you can walk out of it. Why? Because you're not cursed. Christ is the end of the curse. He is the end of the curse. And when you come to the cross, you walk out of the curse. Now, voices from the past will remind you of the curse. They will try to persuade you that you're under the curse, but you're not under the curse. That the blessing of Abraham. So the first thing is Christ is the end of the curse. Now, I'm going to go back to Galatians chapter 8 real quick, and I want to tell you the other part of this New Testament thing. You got a New Testament life. Amen? Amen? Amen. New Testament life first is that your curse is broken. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not under no curse. This broke down. Whatever, you might have been under a curse that you're not under it now. Amen? Come on, where's that? Thank you, Jesus. All right. Yeah. Here we go. Hebrews 8 and 10. Listen to this. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. He's saying that he's going to be in us. Now, I'm going to read you one more thing real quick and then we're going to close out. I'm going to pray with you and we're going to close. Come on, Holy Spirit, show me where it is. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord, there we go. He is good. Yes, he is. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 says this, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Now, listen close. Let me get you a summary real quick and then we'll close this out. Summary, what I say. All right. Number one, man is the image of God, right? Given dominion. Number two, man's fall caused man to no longer be in dominion and be out of fellowship with God. Number three, Satan is given authority over the world. Number four, we now have a new covenant which restores our authority. We're under a new covenant which breaks the curse, which puts us back in authority. So we need to walk and understand that we've been given authority. This is a foundation of the faith. This is the foundation we need to grasp onto, that the curse is not on your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, I told you. Say it. Say, I told you. You are not under a curse. So if you're not under a curse and there's something plaguing your life, and you've been restored to authority, what do you need to do? You need to go back where we started in Genesis chapter 11. You need to make up your mind and know that whatever God has promised you, if you make up your mind, you can walk out of it. You can walk out of it. But you don't understand. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know where I come from. You don't know what's happened to me. I don't. But I know this. You're not under the curse. You are not under a curse. So why do they keep harping on this? Because when things go challenging in our lives, you can't have that little voice coming up behind you saying, see, the reason you're in this is because of this. That's what the accuser of the brethren does. He starts telling you that because of this, this is why you are where you are. If it had only been different for you, you would be blessed. You don't have the blessing because, you know, you haven't lived up to the standard. You know, so you got to go out there, you got to earn God's love. You're gonna have to study to sun up to sundown, because God's not hearing your prayers unless you on your knees for all your day. You ain't been praying long enough. You ain't talked to God long enough. You don't prophesy like those other people. You don't pray like those other folks. You gotta earn your way. You gotta earn. Come on, you gotta win this thing, man. Come on, what's wrong with you? Serve at the church longer. Serve at the church longer. Give more, do this, do that. Come on. All the voices of bondage trying to enslave us and ensnare us. If God called you to serve, then serve. Don't serve out of obligation. Give because you're grateful for what God has given to you. Don't give out of obligation. He used the word today. God loves who? Cheerful givers. Not givers under pressure. Not givers mad. Not givers ashamed. I told you the family I was talking to, the lady said, we're trying to give to get out of the curse. I asked her, I said, well, are you ever mad when you give? She said, yeah. But we got to get out of this curse, Pastor. We got to get out. Why are you mad? I'm mad because we're giving to the church, but my kids don't have their school stuff. Bondage. See, God's calling us to make up our mind about his word in the context that is written. To make up our mind, we're going to be New Testament Christians. We're going to walk in New Testament truth. We're going to walk in New Testament understanding. And when my mind brushes against something that the New Testament says that I don't want to believe, I got to brush the mind. I got to get the mind straight. I got to get my mind where it's able to accept what thus says the Lord. Foundations of the faith. Simple foundations. But they require us to change our mindset. Change how we think, how we're looking at things. And let God be God to us. Let God be God. Say it one more time. I'm not under a curse. If the enemy tries, the last thing I'm saying, I really. This is really it. If the enemy's trying to put a generational curse on you, because your mama and your daddy was like this, and your great-granddaddy was like that, and this and this and that, if all that is still being poured out to you, you need to say, I am not under a curse.
I am not under a curse.
Thank you. Yes. There we go. Come on. Come on, we're not playing church. We're not playing. It's not a game. It's, we got to embrace this truth. We got to embrace it. Now I know why I had to say it. We got to grab this thing. You got to grab a hold of it. Don't wake up tomorrow feeling like you felt yesterday. Come on, hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. We glorify your name, Lord. We exalt the name of Jesus above all things, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word is truth. Let every ear that heard this word today, that it applies to, let this word touch us in the innermost man, the deepest part of us right now. Lord, let us receive this word. Let revelation knowledge explode on the inward man right now. Lord, let it just grab us. Show us where we have accepted the devil's authority, where we've accepted his curse over our lives, whether it's in our relationships, in our physical body, whether it's in our worship, whether it's in how we use our gifts and talents, or it's in the resources that we have. Lord, show us clearly where the enemy is trying to steal from us. We thank you and give you praise right now. We glorify the name of the Lord. For you are a strong tower for us. So we thank you for this word and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Glory to God.